Now, verse 15. But he that is spiritual, that is, he that has the Holy Spirit, a child of God, he judgeth all things. That is, he understands these things, yet himself he's not understood. He is judged of no man. That is, no man's able to understand him. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, you can't tell God anything, but he can tell you a great deal. And he can't until we have the mind of Christ, that is, till the Spirit of God takes these things and shows them unto us. Now, I'd like to make an experiment with you today. Now, out yonder listening in, right now is a great company of folk. Now, in that company right now, there's people that are not Christians. You probably listened to this hour for some reason. I don't know why. Or you've listened to part of it, or maybe you've tuned us out by now. But if today you are not a saved person, don't you really think that the preaching of the cross is foolishness to you? Don't you think that for a man to die on the cross, which looks like total defeat, doesn't that impress you as being not salvation? But being something that's rather foolish. And yet, God says this is his method, this is his wisdom, that he gave his son to die on the cross for you, in order that you might be saved and that you'll have to trust him to be saved. Now, does that impress you as being foolish? Now, if you're unsaved today, we're making this experiment. Would you mind just dropping me a note and saying to me, "Preacher, I listen to you, and you want to know my reaction, and I want to tell you, I think that what you're saying is rather foolish. I can't see how that's important. I can't see how that is going to save anyone." Now, if that is your experience, why, write and let me know. And if it's not your experience, I'd like to know. And then if you're a child of God, I'd like your reaction. Now, I heard the other day from a man who's a comedian. I've not read his letter and don't intend to. He's a comedian in a nightclub. He listens to our program. He thinks that I am, without doubt, an oddball. He thinks I'm funnier than he is. And you know that's the way it should be. What's your reaction? Now, you will recall that we were looking at the clarity of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God corrects human wisdom, and that was in chapter 2. And there Paul presented to us two classes of mankind. There was the natural man, and that natural man is the man that is a son of Adam, born into the world with a sinful nature. Now, that means when you say a sinful nature, it's a propensity to do evil. In fact, that's about all we can do. We come into the world as sinners. We're alienated from God and rebellion against God. And even when we do good, we always act from mixed motives. We ought to always search our hearts as believers and see whether we're acting from a mixed motive or not, even when we're trying to do the Lord's work. This is the natural man. Now, Paul says the natural man will not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. That's the natural man. I received in the mail from Washington, D.C., from a representative from this area, a politician, a report. And, by the way, you'd read that report and you'd think that he's going to bring in the utopia and the millennium all together. My, he's got a happy solution for all the problems of the world. And, of course, the opposite party doesn't have the benefit of his vast wisdom and knowledge. But when you read it through, it's very discouraging and very disappointing. Because, first of all, you know he can't do what he's saying. And then you recognize you're listening to a natural man. He has no understanding of that which is spiritual whatsoever. And therefore, he's not really interested in any spiritual solution to the problem. Now, he can solve the drug problem, but not in a spiritual way. And he can solve lawlessness, but not in a spiritual way. He has absolutely no knowledge of that. He doesn't know any more about spiritual matters than a goat grazing grass on a hillside. That is the sad plight of us today. Someone asked Gladstone years ago, what's the mark of a great statesman? He said the mark of a great statesman is a man who knows the direction God is going for the next 50 years. Well, we don't seem to have many, or probably I should take the M off and say we don't seem to have any politicians around like that today that know the direction God is going. But that's the natural man. Now, you can't blame him. He may be sincere. However, I suspect the report of this man has to do in a way with him being reelected. I have that feeling. Because everything that he's ever done, he's done it as a politician wanting to be elected to office. And that is the sad state of our nation at the present moment. And it's enough to break the heart of those who love this country and would love to see it prosper again under God. But we are very far from him today. Now, that's the natural man. We can't expect too much of him, and we probably ought not to be critical of him because he's doing the best he knows how. And that's another thing he'll tell you, that he's doing the best he knows how. And that's probably the only true statement that he's made. Now, there is another man, and Paul says in verse 15 of chapter 2, but he that is spiritual, he judgeth all things. Rather, he discerns all things. He has a spiritual discernment, and that spiritual discernment makes him really misunderstood by the world because they can't quite understand why he's doing or saying what he is doing or saying. Now, this is the spiritual man and the natural man. Now, if you will note that they are that kind because of their relationship to the Word of God, to the book, to the natural man, it's foolishness. And the spiritual man, he discerns the Word of God and he recognizes its importance.